Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Judges, and this is chapter 17, and there are 13 verses in this chapter, and I have some commentary. Right now, I'd like to, for all of us to go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to anoint the reading of this word, the translation of the word, and also the commentary. We pray, Lord God, that you'll open up the windows of heaven and anoint this word of yours, because we know, Lord, that the word, when it's preached in the Spirit, brings forth mighty things in human beings. We see the effects of your word. Just this service this evening that we're having here in the Texarkana general area shows us that you're on the move. Your word has made things happen the way that they're happening today. And Lord, you said that the fervent prayer of righteous people availeth much. And so we know that there are people that need to be prayed for. And Lord, we ask that you heal them now. Little Micah. Father, heal all those that are sick. You mentioned in James, Lord, that if we pray for the sick, that they shall recover. And, Lord, if they are doing your will, little Micah, you cannot pray for himself. He's just a young babe. And, Lord, we pray, we know that this boy has been told by doctors that if he gets fevers, it's a very dangerous thing for him. But, Lord, whatever's wrong with him that causes a fever to be so dangerous, we pray that you not only heal the fever, but heal whatever the cause is that would make it dangerous for him to have a fever of 102. Lord, you said that by your stripes we are healed, and that we're to defend the little children, not to murder them, not to abort them, to cut them into pieces, and to throw them in waste disposal boxes, and to make cleansing cream or wrinkle cream out of their dead little bodies. But Lord, you told us to pray for them and to make sure, protect them, and to speak out for them like the rest of the world does not do. Lord, you called us to be a different kind of a people, that respond to the words that you tell us. You say that you tell us plainly in many different places in your word, which created everything, that everyone is to obey those that have the rule over them, because we rule with diligence. We rule according to your word, and if people will not obey us, those of us that have the rule, then what they are doing is not obeying you. And this church happens to be for people that obey you. And if I see that they're not doing that, well, then this is not the church for them. Lord, anoint you the reading of your word, that we receive it and that we learn lessons from it, so that we can apply these lessons to our lives, so that the anointing of your word can wake up our spirits and our mind, so that our mind and spirit become one in you, that we have the Spirit of Christ, the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in us, and that we have the mind of Christ united with your Spirit as well. Lord, we pull down strongholds by your Spirit, by the Word. The Word created everything, and the Word, your Word, which is Spirit and life, defends us. Your word is the full armor of God, and Joyce Myers tells us that you put us here to have fun, but I know that you say that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and that we are to be sober, and it's better to be in the house of what? Mourning than it is to be in the house of mirth. So, Lord, I know that by the words that she speaks, that she's a false prophet. She does not line up what she's saying with your word. She says some things, and she's a deceiver. And there are many other people in this world that are deceivers, and you warned us that there would be many deceivers in these last days. But, Lord, open our spirits and let everyone, so that everyone can see that you're a real good God, as good as any God could ever be, and you're the only one and only God, the real God. And Lord, that you are very good, but you're also severe and strict, and you mean what you say, and that you don't leave any room. She said that you don't really want people to be perfect, because you know that people are not perfect, and that's why you came to the world. But the truth of that in your word, Lord, is that you came into this world so that you could live in us, so that we would be perfect, because there's no imperfection going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And perfection, your meaning of perfection is that we walk in the Spirit and we go and sin no more. Now, this is the truth of the word of the Lord. And therefore, Lord, I know that you have the power, the capability of opening up everybody's mind and spirit to receive the things written in your word, the things that have been written by many prophets and apostles, and things that you yourself have said, Jesus, so that we can become like you. You said that we must become like you. There's no imperfection in the body of Christ or in Christ, and therefore we don't receive what people like this say. People are becoming too laid back, Lord, because of these false prophets. They say that you have come so that we could have fun. But we are going to have many trials and tribulations. But you are able to, you told us to be of good cheer, for you've overcome these things. We know, and we have a glorious thankfulness in our hearts, and praise and joy in our hearts, is that no matter how many persecutions or trials or tribulations come, that in you we are more than capable of having victory over all of them. And that we know that your Spirit will keep us. And this is where, yeah, when you said, peace I give unto you, my peace I give unto you, because we know that when we keep your commandments, that we have eternal, immortal life, that we're safe forevermore. Not as the Baptists believe, where they believe once saved, always saved, that they can go and sin, but because we don't sin, because we have the power of you in us, is that that's what gives us the confidence to go boldly before the throne of the living God and ask you whatsoever that we will ask, and you'll give it unto us because we keep your commandments. Now, we have children ourselves that ask for things, and we do give it to them if we know that they need it, and we don't refuse them. And some of the children don't get much because they don't ask. But you give to those that ask. We may be your children, but you will not give to those that don't ask. I have many children as well, not as many as you do. You have millions of them, hundreds of millions of them. I just have a few children, but the ones that ask are the ones that get. The ones that don't ask, I just figure they don't want anything. And so therefore, well, you've instructed us to ask and you shall receive. Amen?
Amen.
So if you don't ask, well, then you're a son or a daughter that just doesn't ask the Lord, because you maybe feel that he's incapable of giving it to you. Lord, we know that whatsoever shall come forth will be of you, because we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right. right, so now this is Judges chapter 17, verse 1, King James Version.
Micah's idol. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. Verse 2. And he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son.
Because you confessed that you stole the money. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
Verse 3. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image.
That's what so many people do today. They give do something and they say it's unto the Lord. In other words, I'm dedicating all this money to the Lord so that we can build a golden horse or a calf so that we can worship it. Isn't that of the Lord?
No.
Well, that should be a real strong no, okay, if you really are of the Lord. Isn't that of the Lord?
No.
That's more like it. Okay, then what?
Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Verse 4. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah.
Wasn't that of the Lord?
No.
Well, I think we have the responses. I was wondering if anyone was here. Okay, then what?
Verse 5. And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest.
It's difficult enough to learn what one God wants. How could anybody serve many gods? Amen?
Yeah.
God, you know, one God, the only God, is enough. Amen?
Amen.
That's plenty enough. He's more than sufficient. Amen?
Amen.
We don't need gods of thunder and the gods of rain and the gods of, you know, they have gods of homosexuality. They do. They have the god of the whores, or the patron saints of the whores. They figure that's Mary Magdalene. They wear the Mary Magdalene medal, all these whores. You know, in France, I said, what's that you got on your neck when I was winning all those prostitutes on the streets? And she says, well, that's our patron saint. I had a Frenchman there with me telling me what they were saying. I says, who's that? And it's Mary Magdalene. I said, Mary Magdalene was a born-again Christian. She at one time was a prostitute, but she got saved and she never did that again. And she became, her sins were washed away in the blood of Jesus, and now her spirit is as clean and white as driven snow or like wool. And so you have to get off the streets, you know, and throw that medal away, because she's not the queen of the whores like you want her to be. You're just making that up, you know. Porky the pig doesn't really exist. Mickey the mouse, okay? And neither does this, so throw it away and serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's saved. So I'd pray him through. Amen?
Amen.
Somehow that got through their warped way of thinking, their musty brains, and they got saved. And there wasn't but one whore left on that street. And boy, she was like legion, you know. And, there was many interruptions like you hear now. Okay, this prostitute that was like legion was even worse than legion, because she had all kinds of pimps that were pointing guns at us and everything and stuff like that. It was a little difficult, me not knowing the French language at the time, to deal with the situation. I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told me to depart. Just as he did when they were wanting to stone him to death before his time. All right, then what?
Verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Translation, verse 1 through 6. Micah's idols. A man named Micah lived in the hill country of Ephraim.
You know, that's exactly what people are doing today. There's only one God. There's only one word of God, but everybody's doing whatever seems right in their own eyes, and they don't line it up with the word of God. Now, I pray for Joyce Myers, you know, but I mean, she's a very cantankerous type woman. Like, for instance, I've written a tract, and she polyparroted it on her TV program, which is fine, I don't care, but she just looked dead into the television and says, "God gave it to you, and I'm using it," as though I would be angry at her using it. I want them to use it, and I see them all using the literature that God has given me, but she needn't get so cranky about it. Right? She can use it all. I don't care. You don't have to scowl and give me a dirty look on the TV. If I could have, I would have went right through the screen and told her, "I don't mind, Joyce. Go right ahead." Okay? All right, then what?
Verse 2. One day he said to his mother, quote, "I heard you curse the thief who stole 1,100 pieces of silver from you. Well, here they are. I was the one who took them," unquote. Quote, "The Lord bless you for admitting it," his mother replied. Verse 3. He returned the money to her, and she said, quote, "I now dedicate these silver coins to the Lord in honor of my
son."
Yeah,
but what Lord? You know, a lot of people have different lords, you know. There's the Lord of Canterbury, and there's, you know, some women call their husbands that are satanic Lord, and some people's Lord is the devil himself, amen?
Amen.
Anything other than the Lord is satanic, it's the devil. And if you think otherwise, well, then you don't believe the gospel, and therefore you can't be saved. We're saved by believing. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the word of God, shall be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, and the Bible plainly states that he is the word of God, everyone that shall believe the whole word of God shall be saved. Anyone that wants to live in a day and age when we have the full Bible, the Old and New Testament, and then do your own thing, because you have no king over you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you're going to hell. And why do I say that? Because that I'm not making up my own thing, because I don't live according to my own way. I don't do things according to whatever I think is right. I go by what the Lord says is right. And that's what you must do if you your desire is to live forever in the kingdom of heaven. If you don't, I have to inform you, according to the Lord and his word, that you're going to roast eternally and be tormented eternally and never have a drop of water or any liquid on your tongue or anywhere else on your body. And you're going to be tormented in the lake of fire, and you'll be weeping, wailing, chewing on your tongue, gnashing on your teeth, and cursing yourself for not believing the gospel. So that's what that's all about, okay? So, yeah, in that day there was no king, and that's exactly the way it is today. Very few people shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. Very few, in comparison to those that are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. Those of us that are alive, we're not death. Once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we become alive and alive forevermore if we continue on in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, which means the whole word. If we continue to the end believing everything that the Bible says. Well, man, this is a new age. God is far more alert than you are, and far more modern than you are, because he told us years before, when he first created the heavens and the earth, and even before that, that the things that would be going on today. So he's more hip than you are. People that say, well, this is a new age, are pretending to be more hip than the Lord. The Lord is so vibrantly intelligent that he knows which one of us is going to be in hell and in the lake of fire, and which ones of us are going to be with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, study the Word, because the Word of God is able to purge all these wicked ideas, all your own things, out of your mind and out of your spirit. Because we know from the Bible that most people don't want to discipline themselves, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Now, we have to make it our will. We have a will, and our will can go this way or that way, to the left or right. We have to make it our will to do everything that the Lord says. You say, well, that seems too rough, and Joyce Myers tells us that. No, there's no, we're all imperfect. But the Lord says, be ye perfect, because the bride, Christ, is perfect, and his bride, the Bible tells us, is perfect. Is God, the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, going to unite himself to an imperfect bride? And the Bible says that we're all members of his body. But that doesn't mean you. These people, these false prophets today, are preaching to every, not only Joyce Meyer, but so many of them, almost every one of them. They'll preach some good things, and then they go right off saying that you don't have to be perfect, and that's totally different than what the Bible says. They've written their own Bible. They don't really have the Lord as their king over them, and therefore they're just preaching what they want, something that will tickle your ear so that you'll write a check, L-U-V offering, a love offering, and send it to them, so that they'll be able to live as sumptuously as they're used to. They want to live sumptuously. And of course, you probably help them live sumptuously. But God help, you know, anyone, God, and get them straight, because if you're helping the Antichrist dispense his false doctrine to others, then you'll be as guilty as they are, because what you're doing is uniting yourself to the body of Antichrist, the false prophet. But unite, I say, unite yourself to the body of Christ and live according to the gospel, the whole truth, the whole Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that the whole Word came into the world as a man, and that was Jesus. So it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Word of God, then you shall be saved. Now, you can't know the whole Word when you first get saved, but he sees those that are striving for perfection, that are moving into the fullness of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is spirit, and it is life, as the Bible keeps saying all the time. And so just move very boldly into what the Lord says, and drop these study Bibles. If there's any in the church, get rid of them. Any of the overseers that see them, get rid of them. These study Bibles are filled with false doctrine. And there's some things in them that are true, but that makes them all the more deceptive. So be careful, because your soul depends on it. Okay, go ahead.
In honor of my son, I will have an image carved and an idol cast.
Yeah, her son. But the Lord wants us to honor his son. Amen?
Amen.
Not your son. You know, many women think that their son is the Messiah or something. My God, they treat them better than Jesus was treated when he was born. First of all, these children were not born in a manger, in a barn someplace, and had to spend the night. There was no inn for them to spend a night in. And, you know, your son and your daughter is not the Messiah. You have to conform. I don't care how good your mama or your daddy, treated you. don't take it to heart, because you have to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow the Lord, just all like all the rest of us slobs. You know, some people think that those of us that carry the cross and deny ourselves are slobs. But you'll be a slob like us, or you won't make it in. Okay, then what?
Verse 4. So his mother took 200 of the silver coins to a silversmith, who made them into an image and an idol. And these were placed in Micah's house. Verse 5. Micah set up a shrine, and he made a sacred ephod and some household idols. Then he installed
one... You know what an ephod is? It's the breastplate of, the priest. So he made himself a priest outfit. Okay? Then what? It had... The one that was made for Aaron had 12 stones in it. Four rows down... Three across and four rows down. All right, of all different stones, and they match up with the same stones that are in the foundation of the New Jerusalem. Okay? So that matches up Old and New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
Gosh, all the things you learn here. Okay, what else?
Then he installed one of his sons as the priest.
Okay.
Verse 6. In those days Israel had no king, so the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes.
Right. Today, people, they've got, they make Santa Claus or Bugs Bunny or Porky the Pig or whatever. They just get into it. I know there's people that have collections of all the different pictures of Porky the Pig and little statues that have been made of him in Snow White and all these false things. Figments of people's imaginations. Walter Disney. Okay, but look. You say, well, they're nice. No, they're not, okay? That's what you say. Those are your false images. Get those images out of your mind and just put Christ there, amen?
Amen.
Because Santa, this false made-up person who doesn't exist, and... Also, Snow White and these... I know, there's dwarfs, I grant you that. There's dwarfs. I've seen thousands of them over in the Hollywood area. And here and there. But, the fictitious story doesn't exist. All right? And Bugs Bunny is just a cartoon. So get him out of your mind. Cartoons are not going to help you. Most of the people in this world today have been raised on cartoons. And so people think, well, why are you spending so much time on them? Because they spend so much time looking at them. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I just love animated cartoons, they say. It's just, I just love to sit in front of the television or go to the movies and watch these animated cartoons. And, I like to do that. That's on my agenda. But the Lord says for us to keep our minds stayed upon Him day and night. That is if you want to go to heaven. But, of course, if Porky the pig and Pluto the mutt or any of these other characters are more important to you than God, well, then you're in the same category as these people in that day and age, where they did whatsoever was right in their eyes. And so, of course you have your own will. I'm not going to force you to do it. God won't even force you to worship Him. You have to make it your choice to go to heaven or just go on in your old, silly goose way. Silly goose. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 7. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. Verse 8. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. Verse 9. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place.
Yeah, I'll just find any place, you know.
This is a real backslidden Levite, you know, because he's just looking for some place to flop, hang his hat, right?
Right.
Like so many people today, they just figure, well, I'll go to just here and there, and if somebody lets me live or somebody will feed me, I'll flop there. And because I'm a freeloader, you know. And I'll pretend like I'm a Christian, or if I have to, I'll be a Buddhist or whatever. Well, that's what this Levi did. He's just, he sees these idols in the man's house, and he says, okay, I agree to stay here. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 10, and Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels.
See, he's not supposed to be a priest unto Micah. He's supposed to be a priest unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But this weasel agrees. Okay? Is that shocking to you? I see many people do that today. If you'll feed them, they're like, the Lord says, Esau have I hated. Okay, right?
Right.
Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Because Esau didn't care anything about the Word of God. But Jacob loved the Word of God and lusted after the covenant. It's all right to lust after the things of the Lord. But it's not good to lust after food or a place to flop or something like that. You have to bite the bullet if you're going through the hard times, Governor, and take up the cross and follow the Lord. And if you are benevolent to him and you're staying before him, he'll find a way in the right place for you. And he will never allow you and reward you for going into the house of idols. All right? No matter, you know, you're going to do things your own way like they did then, it won't work. Okay, because we even know more than the Levites did. We have the whole Bible now. Okay, go ahead.
And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in.
Yeah. Well, don't we get at least 6 pairs of shorts and 6 pairs of socks and stuff? What else? Just one garment of apparel and 10 shekels, is it?
Mm. 10 shekels. That's silver.
Yeah. For a whole year?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is able to bless you more than that. Amen?
Amen.
He gives us more than we can even know what we have. I guarantee you the people in this church, they don't know what they have.
No.
See? Have you itemized it yet? Okay, then what?
Verse 11, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. Verse 12, and Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah.
See, the Levite has to be in the house of the Lord, not the house of this idol worshiper. Amen?
Amen.
This is so sick, you know, but you see this same sickness today. You see people in all these different religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Mohammedism, Catholicism, and all the different isms, Paramahansa Yoganandiism, and they're all wrong, okay? All wrong, every one of them. Okay, then what?
Verse 13. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest.
Yeah, in other words, a lot of people say, well, if I got a born-again Christian in here, but that Levi is worthless because he's out of the will of God, and God's not going to bless him or Micah for having him in there. Okay? So you might as well just go down and get this Levite out of there, and just go buy yourself a rabbit foot. Or get a wishbone or something, you know? Because you're in a pipe dream. bounty. Okay, then what else?
Translation, verse 7. One day a young Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, verse 8, arrived in that area of Ephraim looking for a good place to live. He happened to stop at Micah's house as he was traveling through. Verse 9, quote, "Where are you from?" Micah asked him. And he replied, quote, "I am a Levite from Bethlehem, Judah, and I am looking for a place to live," unquote. Verse 10, quote, "Stay here with me," Micah said, "and you can be a father and priest to me. I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year, plus a change of clothes and your food," unquote. Verse 11, the Levite agreed to this and became like one of Micah's sons. Verse 12, so Micah ordained the Levite as his personal priest, and he lived in Micah's house. Verse 13, quote, "I know the Lord will bless me now," Micah said, "because I have a Levite serving as my priest," unquote.
Now we have a high priest, amen?
Amen.
After the order of Melchizedek, who never dies. He died once, and now he's alive forevermore. And we're not allowed to have any other priest because there's only one mediator to the throne of God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. So if you're a Hindu, a Muslim, you're intimo, or a Buddhist, or any other type of a religion, you can't get a hold of the Lord because there's only one mediator. There's only one man that can get, you have to go through to get to the kingdom of heaven, to God himself, and that's Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the only way, the only truth, the only life. No man cometh unto the Father in prayer or any other way but through me." So you're all just wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Well, that was the 13th verse in chapter 17 of Judges, and now we've got some commentary.
17 verse 1. Micah means, quote, "Who is like Yahweh," unquote. It is ironic that a man with this name should establish an apostate place of worship and an illegitimate priesthood. 17 verse 2. Quote, "Blessed by the Lord," unquote. The mother counteracted the curse with the pronouncement of a blessing upon her son. Some women can just turn reprobates into blessed people.
Yeah, there's, the Lord tells us about ungodly women, right?
Yes.
There's many women that profess to be godly, and they are as ungodly as you can get, because there isn't any more, anything more unsanctimonious than a woman that says she's a Christian or a man, and they're just phonies. Because everyone can see that they're phonies, and yet they say they're Christians as though the Lord condones their actions, just as this man thought that God would condone the actions of this reprobate Levite, and therefore he hired him and had him in the house and felt that he was blessed, you know, he was comforted in that illusion. Okay, then what?
17 verse 3, quote, "I had wholly dedicated the silver," unquote, the mother said. The mother's consecration of the money to the Lord for making images was disobedience to the law. Exodus chapter 20 verse 4 through 6. The mother and her son's paganized view of the God of Israel was probably a result of the idolatrous influence of the Canaanites. Quote, "a carved image and a molded image."
Right, and people are so, they're caught up with the idolatrous ideas of the way that the government has molded the thinking of the people in the United States of America. It's a sin to have a Bible, to bring a Bible to school. It's absolutely permissible to murder little babies. It's all absolutely permissible, they say, to commit adultery and fornication. They even furnish these protections in the schools so that little children can fornicate. And some of them don't use them, and that they get pregnant, and it's, they say, you don't have to tell your mother, you can just go to the abortion parlor and have an abortion. This is the most demonic world that we're living in today that ever existed, because it's worldwide and it's on television, and they keep mesmerizing the people with these false ways of life. And it's causing multitudes. The entire world is deceived into this way of thinking. And instead of doing as the Lord says, put your eyes on him, they don't. And therefore, they're not Christians any longer. Because they're when you disobey the Lord, then you're heavily influenced by the world. And they check out the websites on these computers, and they are into everything is becoming okay. Like, it's all right for the priests. You see how they're attacking Michael Jackson for being a homosexual and molesting little boys. But yet, you don't see them doing that to the priests. The Vatican is running the world government. And so what they've done is taken all those homosexual, child-molesting priests and hidden them in the Vatican, just as they did the Pope, the current Pope, after the war was over, World War II. He helped annihilate all the Jews and many blacks and a whole bunch of homosexuals in Poland and Czechoslovakia and many other people too. And so when the war was over, he was afraid that they were going to take him to Nuremberg and try him and hang him. And so he fled to Argentina. And from Argentina, this is Pope John Paul II, he was a priest then, and from Argentina, the Vatican hid him because they hate Jews so much, and Christians, true Christians, that they made him a pope. They said, boy, you're one of the best. He worked for IG Farben, which is the same company that makes Bayer aspirin and all kinds of stuff, like I think it's Alka-Seltzer and all kinds of different drugs in this country today. And they made the cyanide gas that was they used in the gas chambers to annihilate millions upon millions of people. And so that's why he fled to Argentina and hid. Then the Vatican scooped him up and made him a cardinal and then a priest. And so that's why I've written a piece of literature called The Fugitive Pope. Because actually, if there were really law in the world today, he is a fugitive. He needs to be arrested and prosecuted to the limit of the law for murdering so many Jewish people. And then he turns around, as any devil will, and says, I am praying for the Jews, and I do apologize for us not helping the Jews more during World War II. And so people read that and they say, well, the man is apologizing for not helping the Jews. How about apologizing and repenting for murdering millions of Jews, you reprobate? I mean, you lying devil, you. Okay, all the facts and figures are quite prominent. There's so much evidence of that. And he even admitted that he worked for IG Farben. And I don't know whether he stirred the portions up with one of these oars or paddles or what, but he also was a salesperson. He would sell the cyanide gas. And so these, people are idolizing this Pope. He's a murderer, and all the different laws that are coming out of Rome that are influencing the entire world is coming right from him and his constituents. And people are going for it, so they become his constituents. They're his puppets, and they're worshiping the beast. The Bible says that's the same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And so you have to get your eyes off the world according to the Lord, or you're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. If you're doing that, you've already taken the mark of the beast, and there's no more forgiveness for you. So these are strong words from the Word of God from the Bible, from Jesus, and it doesn't sound at all to me that the Lord wants us to have fun, and, you know, just live a careless and carefree life. He wants us to be very vibrantly interested in how close we are to the end of time, and to prepare our spirits, our souls, for that which is soon to come. These liars are saying that that we're also going to be raptured out of this world, when the Bible plainly tells us that that's not going to happen until after he comes back to earth. Immediately after the tribulations, which we're going to have to live through unless God takes you out personally between now and then, he says immediately after the tribulations, then the Lord comes. Amen?
Amen.
So you're going to go through the tribulations, and you best listen to the Word of God that says that. Okay? You're not going anywhere until after the tribulations. So prepare yourself. Believe the gospel and live. Now, if you want to have fun, then join Joyce Myers and all these other false prophets. Well, then go and do it. It's up to you. It's your will. The Lord doesn't stop you from doing that. And it's for sure and certain I'm not going to stop you from doing it. I'm only warning you, as the Bible does. You can do whatsoever you want, which is right in your own eyes. But if I were you, I'd do what's right in the Lord's eyes. And right here I'm telling you these tremendous warnings from the Bible and in the New Testament that said if you don't continue on in the faith with the Lord, that there will be no more forgiveness for you. So isn't God a forgiving God? For those that truly repent and continue on to the end, he is. But he said if you don't continue to the end, then you're not anything of his. There's only two kind of people, the saved and the lost. There's only two kind of people, those that are of the Lord and those that are of the devil. There's no in-between. You're either a sheep or a goat. You're either wheat or chaff. You're either going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell in the lake of fire. There's no in-between. Don't be in this church and try to pretend there's a purgatory or a limbo, a place, you know, where you can just, a middle or in-between place. There's no such thing. There's nothing at all in the Bible. It's quite the contrary. It says choose. Your will only has to choose two things, either the Lord or your own way, the devil. Yourself. Okay, let's continue on.
The carved image was probably formed from stone or wood and overlaid with silver, and the molded image was made of melted silver poured into a mold. 17 verse 5. An ephod was either an elaborate vest worn by a priest or an object of worship. See chapter 8 verse 27. Household idols, also referred to as teraphim, were used in unlawful divination. 17 verse 6. The author of Judges, likely writing from his perspective by the Spirit of the Lord in early monarchy, was explaining Micah's sacrilegious actions as a characteristic condition of his period when there was no king.
Right, and it's the same way today. It's the same way. They don't know who to worship today. When there's only one person to worship. There's not two or more. They say, it's so confusing, I don't know who to worship. Because you're just bedazzled by all these different things to do. What to do? What to do? Busy, busy, busy. No, you just think, unless your mind is busy, unless you're rushing here and there, unless you're doing this and that, that you're not really of the Lord. No, the Lord wants you to calm down, relax, and get a hold of him, and listen to him, and receive instructions from him. First, he wants you to get saved. He wants you to be washed. He wants you to be cleansed. And he wants you to live a holy life. He wants to separate yourself, you to separate yourself from the world. And then he wants you to deny yourself of all the satanic things that you were doing before and the kind of life you lived before. You can't be living the same life that you did before and then say that you're living a life, a kingdom of heaven life. You're living a worldly life. You have to, when we get saved, we have to live the kingdom of heaven life. We have to walk in the Spirit. We have to take the things from the kingdom of heaven and bring them into this world in us and allow people to see the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Because the kingdom of heaven doesn't come with observation. It comes, the kingdom of heaven is within us, and everyone can see by the things that the Lord is doing in us or not doing in us, if we're of the kingdom of heaven or we're not of the kingdom of heaven. I see most people, you don't see many people that call themselves Christians that are different than the world. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of them that are worse than the people in the world that call themselves Christians. Like President Bush, he's ordering the murder of millions of people. And Clinton, he has bombed and claims proudly that he's killed more people. He says, well, we have to kill a few billion people in order to get this world into the world thinking that no one shall come against killing babies, abortions. We all sinners, and if we want to fornicate, we don't want anybody telling us not to do that. We don't want anybody to tell us that we can't commit adultery. We don't want anybody telling us that we can't kill babies, and that we can't that we have to read the Bible and that we have to shape up. And anybody that tells us that, these are troublemakers, and they're making it rough on us, and they're making our lives uncomfortable, just like the two witnesses, because we torment them with the Word of God so much that they just want to kill you. Because this is the work of the devil, is to try to destroy your soul and to get you pointed in another direction than where the Lord wants you. Now, the Lord says our direction is the kingdom of heaven, because that's the only place that we're going to be safe in this whole universe. And the only way that we can get there is to follow the instructions to get there. You can't go to Windham, Montana, if you're headed for Florida. Right?
Right.
And you're not going to get to Florida. I mean, you're not going to get to Windham, Montana, if you're headed for Florida. And you're not going to get to London, England, if you're headed for Norway. Okay? You can say, well, we go to London first and then to Norway. Yeah, I suppose you could do that, but you're going the long way around. Amen?
Amen.
The way you go to Norway is you can go over there to Seattle and get on a plane and go to Norway, where, you know, the land of the midnight sun, where it's the sun is shining all day and all night long. But you cannot eat unless you get a fork and put it, or a spoon or something, or take it in your fingers and put it in your mouth. You have to do things the way that you're supposed to do them. You're not going to sleep unless you lie down. Amen? I mean, you could probably do it when you sit up, but I see people doing that as well. But primarily, most people lie down when they go to sleep. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so you've got to do it God's way. If you want to go to where God is, you have to do it His way. If you want to go to where Satan is, well, then you do it your way. Okay? Yeah, but you've got a will. You can choose. Yes, it takes more effort to stop doing what you did before, but if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, when you ask the Lord Spirit to enter into you, you have more than enough power, or the Bible calls it grace or power in you, to fulfill all the law, to keep the law, in other words. What does it mean to keep the law here? That means you don't speed 100 miles down the turnpike if the sign says 70 miles an hour. That's keeping the law. Is there something wrong with keeping the law? If you're driving drunk and speeding, well, then I believe that your driver's license should be taken away from you. And that you should never be allowed to drive anymore because drunks are killing people by the thousands. So you have to obey the law. But the law of God is even far more important than that, because if you die in a wreck while you're drunk driving, then your soul is going to be in you know where. So let's keep going, because I've said this so many times that, you know, you'd think people would take hold. But they're like they're worshiping Bush. They say that he's the best choice, when he's an out-and-out liar. The man is no more a Christian than the devil is. All right? Why is that? Well, because the Bible, he's not doing anything that is Christian that the Bible says to do. Okay? He's declaring war by the orders of the Pope with every nation that doesn't have a Roman Catholic leader. And he wants to install Roman Catholic leaders because it's his quirky way. He wants of ruling the world. That's the way they figured it out. They planned, okay, we'll start calling in the media, the heads of all these different countries, one country at a time, that this man is a devil. He's the worst devil in the world. And then we'll get a few of those people in that country to say, yeah, it's horrible, it's horrible. We can get people in this country to say that Bush is a devil. Amen?
Amen.
And what if everybody turned on him? Of course, we Christians don't do that. We want to see him really saved. We don't want him to be a hypocrite all his life and a phony and devil-possessed. Right?
Right.
That isn't what the Lord came. He came to win souls, not to destroy them. The man's already destroyed and on his way to hell. What we want to do is we'd love to see him saved. And just because I'm saying these things doesn't mean I'm against him. I'm trying to win the man's soul. I'm telling him what the Bible says, and I've sent him many pieces of literature. Everything I write goes to him, is to everybody in the White House. And all over, all the governors and all the lieutenant governors, all over the place. They know who we are. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord, they know. And Tony Alamo, they know. But who are you, you false prophets? Amen?
Amen?
They know you're false, too. And they're going to beat your heads in one of these days. Okay, then what?
17 verse 10. Father was a term of respect or an honorary title. 10 shekels of silver. The Levite appears to have been motivated to serve as Micah's priest more by material concerns than by his devotion to the Lord, for sure.
Yeah, he served the Lord for money. I mean, but a different Lord. Amen?
Amen. The money, clothing, and food Micah offered him apparently provided the incentive for him to become involved in an apostate form of worship.
Idolatry. Right, then what else?
He eventually accepted an even more attractive offer in chapter 18, verses 19 through 20. 17, verse 13. Micah had deceived himself into thinking that he would now have the Lord's blessing because he had a Levite priest. In reality, he was disobeying God's law. 17, verse 1 through 6. We can summarize all
some
of...
Some people, you know, they take that light of disobeying God's law. Disobedience is the same as witchcraft. And so he became a witch. And the Lord says, I suffer not a witch to live. And there's no witches or goblins in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Goblins and witches. None of those in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
We can summarize all of the events of Judges chapters 17 through 22 in chapter 17, verse 6. Quote, in those days, Israel had no king, so the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes.
Just like today. You either got Bush as your king, or the Pope as your king, or your governor as your king. When they're all reprobates, God is supposed to be your king. Okay? Because if you start doing what they do, in other words, if you go according to their rulership, you're going to hell with them. Okay? It doesn't matter how many times you join hands with all this. If everybody joined hands in the whole world and they're all doing what they're doing today, you're all going to hell anyway. God can send all of you together. There's no more power in the governor than there is in you. Or there's no more power in the governor or the president of the United States than there is in me. Physical power. I could probably out bench press him and out lift him with my legs, okay, or whatever, on the leg press. I invite him to come down and we'll have a contest. Right? Okay, then what? If he can do over 1,250 pounds, well, then he wins. Okay, then what else?
This statement also applies to the do-it-yourself idolatry of Micah. Without a king or any well-defined enforcement, without anyone telling you what's wrong, some enforcer of God's laws, there were almost no limits or boundaries placed upon the people.
Right. If there isn't somebody telling you the do's and don'ts, then where are you going? You're just like a bunch of people wandering into hell in the lake of fire.
In Micah's case, true worship was mocked by the making of idols. See Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. And the creation of a private priesthood of all things. When we ignore God's commandments for our life, we also mock God, and also we are just selling ourselves down the drain.
It's down into the drain that goes down into hell in the lake of fire. That's the bottomless pit. Okay, then what?
Showing God proper respect and the fear of the Lord to keep his commandments entails following God's will for our life. And his will is found in his word, of course. If we do this, we can avoid self-destructive actions like those of the Israelites in the following chapters. 17 verse 7 through 13. The depth of the self-deception or religious denial in Israel during this time is clearly seen here. And what about the whole world today that is totally deceived and gone away from the Lord?
Yeah, everybody doing whatever they think is right in their own eyes. I mean, I guarantee you, I can stop anybody on the street, one right after there, and they'll say, well, we think what's right is, and we think this, are you sure? Well, no, but I mean, we know if we try to do the best thing, or if we try, Jesus didn't try to get on the cross, he got on the cross, amen?
Amen.
And, and you can, don't try, that's why the Lord gives you his spirit, is so that you can do what he says. Amen?
Amen.
So, you get billions of answers from a billion different people. Everybody's doing that which they think is right in their own eyes. They're not using the Bible, the Word of God. They're not using Christ as their guide. And so, that only leaves one other person to guide them, and that's the satanic spirit of Satan. And he's guiding them right into the lake of fire. Then what?
Not only was Micah not rebuked by the priest from Bethlehem for his open idolatry, but the priest actually accepted Micah's job offer. Unbelievable! Exclamation mark. This arrangement stood counter to God's clearly revealed will on the matter of worship in Israel. But Micah believed it would bring him great blessing anyway. He was either ignorant of God's laws or chose to ignore them.
Absolutely, yeah. And then what else?
God has shown us in the Bible, Old and New Testament, all that we need to know about keeping God's commandments and pleasing God, God's will, so that we can live healthy, wealthy, and eternal lives. We are responsible to know what God desires of us, and then we are responsible and accountable to follow through on everything that he commands for us to do. 17 verse 2. Micah and his mother seemed to be good and moral, and may have sincerely desired to worship God, but they disobeyed God by following their own desires instead of doing what God wanted.
So, in other words, I'm saying that people would say they're good because they're talking about God, but there's none good but Christ, amen?
Amen?
And if you're not part of the body of Christ, then you're not good at all. And let no man be called good. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else? They thought themselves to be good. Okay, then what?
The attitude that prevailed in Micah's day was this, quote, every man did that which was right in his own eyes, unquote, 17 verse 6. This is remarkably similar to today's prevailing attitudes. God has given us standards. He has not left one's conduct up to us and our opinions. We can avoid conforming to society's low standards by taking God's word, His commandments, seriously, to fear God and keep His commandments and apply them to life.
And why? Because that's the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep His commandments. Amen?
Amen.
Read the book of Ecclesiastes. You see, that's what it says. Then what?
Independence and self-reliance are positive traits of construction, but only within the framework of God's standards are we able to enter the kingdom of heaven and stay out of hell and the lake of fire. 17 verse 6. Today, as in Micah's day, everyone seems to put his or her own interests first. Time has not changed human nature. Most people still reject God by rejecting His right way of living, by rejecting His word, which tells us the right way to live. The people in Micah's day replaced the true worship of God with a homemade version of that which God wants.
Oh, it's even more wicked today. The Lord said it would be far more wicked in these last days, because not only are they worshiping idols, but they're and not only are they killing their own babies, and they're promoting every homosexuality, marriage with one another on television. Everything is just like... whole air is swarming. We're living in the hour of temptation. People, the devil, tempting people to go all the different routes that there are to go. Then what?
As a result, justice was soon replaced by revenge, chaos, and confusion.
Like it is today. Then what?
When people ignore God's direction, it leads to confusion and everlasting destruction. Anyone who has not submitted to God, God's word, will end up doing whatever they want to do and shall wind up in hell and the lake of fire. There is no other way out for them.
No, it's destruction and damnation, eternal damnation. People say, well, you know, that's not so bad. They just think these are words that they don't mean that much to them, because they don't know what it's like, how hellish and how horrible and tormenting it is. But if you don't think it's tormenting that to be have like blow torches on you for eternity and scream, go and lay your face on a hot griddle. See if you like it, all right? Now, I'm not commanding you to do that, but if you think it's... I'll tell you what, just put your little pinky on there for about 5 minutes, okay? Or your foot, all right? But this is your whole body being blasted with like molten lava all over you for eternity, and you can't ever get away from it. You can't pass out. You can't take any painkillers. As a matter of fact, when you start thinking that it can't get any worse, it'll get worse. And it just keeps cranking and cranking up and more. So, I mean, it's so much better to just agree with the Lord and do it, because anyone that is against God, Jesus said, anyone that's not with me is against me. So if you're not 100% with Him, you can't be halfway with Him and halfway with the world, or even 99% with the Lord and 1% of the world, because that one, He says, anyone that breaks even one commandment, you've broken them all. You've broken them all. So you might as well not even be, you know, quit being a phony. Just go out and live your own life, you know, as best you can, because you're not going to heaven anyway. You're wasting your time. Just think of all the fun you could have out there. Get out there, you phony. Get out of the church, because you're not going to heaven. You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And I'm just telling you this because it's true. I'm not going to get in trouble for telling you a lie. The Lord says, repent or get out. Repent or perish. That means, do everything I say or you're going to hell. And you decide, well, I'll do, you know, 99% or 99.9%. I'm not going to do it all, Lord. Well, then go to hell. I says, that's where it's at. In the lake of fire. That's what He's saying. Repent or perish. Get in or get out. Shape up or ship out. You can't get into your Rolls Royce or your Ford or whatever, 99% of you, and keep one, you know, part of you out, or half of you in and the half out, okay? Something bad's going to happen to you. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to wear down the heel of one of your shoes. Amen?
Amen.
And possibly, you know, the skin off your heel. All right? And maybe your toes will snap off. They drug a black guy by his feet, you know, a few miles, and his head popped off. I heard, you know, they had it on the news. Remember that?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So, you know, he should have been in the car. Of course, the guys that were dragging him didn't want him in the car. They wanted his head to pop off, right? And that's what Satan wants to do with you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so listen, you know, keep these things in mind, that you only have one life to do the will of God in. And if you do anything other than that, you're just wasting, you're just spending your time for no reason at all. You're going to pay for it. And, you know, you say, well, how am I going to do that? I've never been able to keep the commandments. Get into the Word and stay in there, because that'll give you the power to continue on doing what the Lord says, and it's easy. Once the power of God's in you, it's not you anymore. It's the Spirit of the Lord that's carrying you through. Amen?
Yeah.
He says, yoke up with me. He put your yoke upon, my yoke upon you, because he says, the work I do is effortless then. And when the Spirit of God's in you, you'll have such joy and peace and happiness that you'll never want to go back to the old life you lived before. And there's a song that I sing. It's, you know, back to the old world I will not go, back to the world of sin and of woe. And then it talks about, you know, back to the boon friends or the old friends of yesterday, still going on in their old sinful way, back with a message of love and power, grace. Because I've had a glimpse of Jesus. You know, I saw Jesus right in front of my face with my eyes wide open about 3 years after I was saved. I really had more than a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I didn't know it was 100% true, I would be selling the Beatles album that I've held for over 40 years now, and I'd just live on the fat of the land, because I know I could sell that for many millions of dollars. And I certainly wouldn't be spending my time in, you know, churches and trying to preach my heart out to the Word of God to you to convince you to get into the Lord so that your soul can be saved. There's no profit in this for me other than that I gain immortality in the kingdom of heaven. And I want you to have the same thing that I have. I want you to be able to have the peace of mind to know that if the breath goes out of your body today, that your soul is going to be with the Lord and out, clean escape the depths of hell and the lake of fire. So, you know, meditate on these things. Ask the Lord to come into your heart now and wash all your filthy sins away, and ask him to get inside of you with his Spirit so that you can have the power over your sin, over sin, Satan, over the flesh, over the world, over death, hell, and the grave. You'll conquer death, hell, and the grave. The minute that the Spirit of the Lord comes into you, you have all these powers. And he also gives you power of healing and all the other things. Salvation, healing, prosperity, victory over every devil in hell. And so there's nothing to lose and everything to gain. I mean, the only thing you lose is your sins and the wretched life that you're living now. And you'll have peace. And I know you don't have peace now if you don't have the Lord. I mean, the peace of the Lord. Not the peace that this world gives, because the world doesn't have any peace. Amen?
Amen?
But this is peace of the Lord in a world, a very troubled world, a world that has no peace in it. And people say, man, how can you look so laid back, you know, in this troubled world? Because I know if the breath goes out of my body, I'm going to be right with the Lord. And you can have that same feeling, that same knowledge, if you'll just ask the Lord into your heart now. So do it. And be saved, be like us, and call us for literature, the literature that the Lord has given me. I've seen Jesus. I've had a glimpse of him. And I tell him he's wonderful. But he's also a very sincerely severe God if you don't do what he says. Yeah, why? It's because you're just rejecting your own salvation. you're rejecting your place in heaven. He's just like, says, here's the only door in. So come on in. He's just trying to save you. He's not trying to impose anything on you. But you can't go the way of the world and go to heaven. So until chapter 18, concentrate on the Lord. Get into the Bible. Read it all the time so that the power, which Bible, Spirit, and life, so that the power of the Lord will keep dwelling in you daily. Take time out. Get into the power. Get into the easy life. Amen?
Amen.
Because even though we get trials and tribulations, so do you unsaved people, man. You get them worse than us, and you have no consolation. There's nothing that you can look forward to but hell, the lake of fire. So until chapter 18 of Judges, God bless you, and praise the Lord.